The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Name your favorite color and why you love being a Cancer.
My name is Heather Wills. My favorite color is purple, and I love being a Cancer because, like purple, we are royalty.
You truly are. Cancers really are royalty. Royal pain in my...
You are a royal hater.
I'm just kidding. Hey guys, it's Danielle. I'm back in the Rose Garden with my favorite Cancer co-star of the season. It is Heezy back again. Hello, Heezy.
Good afternoon, good evening, good people.
What's going on with you, Heezy? It's been a year since you've been in the Rose Garden last.
I will have to say so much has changed in the last year.
Oh, can we start with this? Can we start with the fact that we are able to indulge in a little bit of legal flower? Because in 2020, it's legal. That's the first, that's one major thing that's changed since last year.
And listen, okay, one of my elders, and I won't name the person that told me this, but they are my elder, told me that they spouse need some CBD and some marijuana to keep them calm. And this person, and they said me. So I feel like older people should be very mindful that marijuana is legal and it is of the earth. So stop tripping off of it.
And older generations, you all used to enjoy the flower quite a bit back in the day. And I understand you had to go through, you know, your conditioning to say, you know, just say no, Ronald Reagan. But we're here now. It's legal. Back off.
We have arrived.
We have arrived. And when you look at the benefits, because since I've started indulging in flower, I have become Little Miss Flower Power to all of my Black women friends, particularly about the anxiety relief and the mental health and creativity benefits of flower.
And also the ability to keep it from killing y'all. Y'all don't understand that. Like, I'm just trying not to kill you. Okay.
You know, so, like, let me find my peace. And if my peace happens to come in the form of a flower pipe.
The peace pipe.
Hello. The peace pipe, then you leave me alone because it is legal. So that is one thing that's changed since 2020.
I'm here for it.
We also are at a distance because we can't be together because 2020, COVID.
But listen, I'm kind of okay with it because I kind of not like being with people anyway.
You know, sometimes, all things work together.
You know, that was a shout moment. You was about to preach, and I was going to shout with you.
You know, all things do work together, and we are able to build community from afar. And people have, and this has forced churches to become more accepting to the online crowd in the digital community. And that has really been amazing and refreshing as a millennial. Like, to see all of, like, these pastors and people having to take their word to an online space, because it's still powerful and amazing, but it's like me in here clapping and crying, watching church, is like, this still feels good in my soul. So that is another benefit, you know, that has come out of the, you know, a blessing that has come out of this.
And even for me as a millennial preacher, just 1 year ago, talk about what's going on just 1 year ago, around this time last year, me and my pastor were just starting trying to get more online services for our church, including an app and streaming services, et cetera. So it's just interesting how quickly the moment changed, even for us millennial preachers, and for me, preaching in a church with an older congregation and watching them even have to catch up with the times real quick and change that whole facade of, oh, Facebook for the young folks, or don't nothing good happen on Facebook, or, you know, all of that negativity, to now something that we really have to access in order to stay connected. So it's just interesting to see what the year has changed for even that space for me.
Yes. So what else has happened in Heezy's world since we were last here?
I am a graduate of seminary now, period. I mean, and we'll talk about that more also. I got a new job.
Come on, new job. Come on, new job. Do you like your new job?
Oh my gosh, my new job is everything my old job could never be.
Come on.
God is faithful. That's what I can tell you. God is faithful. I am now a union organizer working in the field, in the trenches with the people, where my heart desires, where my calling is, and where I know that people can be served. So I'm super thankful and excited.
I am thankful and excited for you living and being able to do work that you really believe in, especially since, like you said, your new job is everything your old job cannot be. Since last year, I don't have a job.
Period.
Period.
But you still kept. That's what a shout is.
Listen, because God is a protector and a provider, and He will provide peace and a place of rest that you never saw coming. And that is exactly what has happened. Like, since last year, almost 1 year ago, it was July 15th, I got the layoff notice. Listen. It was July 15th. It was H day. Come on. It was a life-changing day, baby. That day.
Chances ain't all bad, because if your life changed on my birthday,
It was a very Cancer moment, because I walked into the room and they told me I didn't have a job. So you are correct. It was a very, very, it was a Sour Patch moment, which is exactly what cancers are. Like, it was a moment that it was like, are you serious? And then it was like, are you serious? Like, it was the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows. But because God is a provider, in this past year, I have been able to, just like you said, walk in my purpose and just create. I've been able to be protected. You know, I got married a year and a half ago and lost my job a year ago. So I've been a housewife longer than I was an employed wife. And my dream was always to be a stay-at-home wife with an income. But I did not recognize, when I was dreaming that dream and praying that prayer, that that meant that I wouldn't have a job. If you stay at home, that means you don't have a job, you know? So grappling with the fact that when you actually get what you pray for, and it's like, do you even understand what you pray for? And it's like, I had to grapple with and go through the grief of losing my job before I received the blessing that was exactly what I prayed for.
And listen, you also prayed for something only God could do, because you said you wanted to be a stay-at-home wife with an income. That means no job and money. That's your shot right there.
Come on, and married to the money, because my husband has been so amazing. Listen, don't get me running, okay? We said we was going to have a good time in this rose garden, okay?
Listen.
Look, God is
good.
God
is able.
He is able, and I think that that's part of the, when you have that personal relationship with God and you understand how God has shown up in your life, you can sit and have these moments where you just ready to run around, because you have recognized the goodness that is God in your life, even in the midst of madness.
Yeah.
In the midst of all of this madness, if you still can follow your path and follow your yeses, and God is still with you in the darkness and in the light, you know, pillar of fire and cloud, you know, okay, all that good stuff. So,
I hear you. But listen, while we're talking about being in the midst of bad stuff, while good stuff still happening, you know, the coronavirus, like you were saying, and the death of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, so many other named and unnamed brothers and sisters, both Black, Brown, Indigenous, etc., has really shaken me to my core to be more responsible to the community that I create. And so I think in these last few months, what I have recognized is we have to take more seriously the responsibility of mentorship. And what I mean by that is when you involve yourself in somebody else's life, be cognizant of the role that you play and the impression that you leave. I think throughout my seminary career and some of my church career, and what I mean by church, you know, in my denomination, we have to do work in order to move on to the next ordination or whatever the case may be. But in some of the places where I needed mentors, I did not have them. In seminary, when I needed my mentor for seminary, didn't have one, and was really left hanging and struggling. And if we really want to talk about the bigger picture relative to the way we see each other and the kindness that we show each other, and the care that we show each other, I think we could tie it all into even being responsible for the spaces that we occupy with each other. If you're going to tell folks you're going to show up for them, show up for them. You know, be a genuine man or woman of your word, especially when you're leading people. And man, I can get sidetracked on so many tangents about so many examples I can give about this, but when I look at the state of our world, I think that one of the things that can cure the hate is better leaders in both Black and white communities. Like, white people got to stop telling their kids that racism is okay. And I mean, for Black families, we can talk about all the things that we can stop, quote unquote, doing, shoving stuff under the rug, not talking about mental health. I mean, we got to start showing up more just for each other and caring about each other. But I mean, what 2020 has shown me most importantly, I guess through all that, is to be more present and more responsible in everything that I take on, because I recognize that others are depending on me. I recognize that young Black girls and Black boys are depending on me. I mean, I was a mentor in 2020, and that program had to be quickly modified because of COVID. And I was very hurt that I couldn't meet with those girls anymore, because I recognized that me showing up for them, they depend on me. They depend on my light. They depend on my joy, my jokes, my guidance. And so I think that it's super critical going forward that we recognize that we can no longer just play and fiddle with whatever spaces we occupy, the church, teachers and administrators, or whomever, union organizers. I mean, you can go down the list, but whatever we are, I think it's just super important going forward that we recognize that we have to be responsible to the calling that God has on our lives, particularly the way it is intertwined with others' lives.
Amen. So talking about the calling that God has on our lives and how we manifest that and how we share that gift with other people. Going through seminary, how has, as a Black woman in America, as a Black millennial in America, going through seminary from the South Side of Chicago, born on July 15th. Hello.
That's what a blessing is.
Hello. Hello. How has your relationship with God and understanding of God changed or grown? Or changed?
I just continue to recognize that God is so much bigger than whatever us theologians and seminarians and preachers and pastors and ministers and Christians even consider God to be. God is so much more. I was in a meeting the other day, and a preacher said blatantly, something to the end of, and I can't quote it, but I can say the thought, something to the end of, I don't understand why preachers of the gospel will support other religions or intertwining of religions. It is good to recognize that there are other religions out there, but for you to preach it is wrong. this last year has taught me that that statement is actually wrong. For me, that's not my belief. My belief has always been and continues to be that the light exists everywhere. And I even put that on Facebook some time ago, and I talk about that quote often because the light cannot be contained in one theology. It exists everywhere. And theology is just my study of God and how God talks to me and interacts with me and how I recognize God, who I call God, what I call God. And for many, those names and those prefaces change, but the energy behind it and the love behind it is what I'm seeking and what I want others to seek. And I made it very clear in another meeting I was in when I said to somebody or a group of people, you know, my theology is, are you at peace with yourself when you go to bed at night? Can you lay down with yourself and be okay with who you are? That's what I preach. I use biblical reference to show how if you are not at peace, you can get at peace. And I use my own life experience to tell how I have not been at peace and have gotten to peace. But I cannot tell you that it's only one route to God's peace. Because what I recognize is that God, as we quote in the Bible, but then still put limits on it, our thoughts are as far from God's thoughts as the east is from the west. But then when we come to be Christian preachers, but that East and West is still limited by Christian theology. So I recognize that the Bible for me is a compilation of people's experiences with God. It is not the only experience with God people have had or will have. And I honor all other experiences with God. I do preach that Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. That is my belief. Because I am humbled to think that a black man would go to Calvary for me. So I pay homage to the sacrifice of Jesus and the life of Jesus, the legacy of Jesus. And I do consider Jesus to be God's begotten son. However, I recognize that prophecy also lies in the words of Dr. King. And prophecy also lies in the words of Elijah Muhammad. And prophecy also lies in the words of the Buddha. And prophecy also lies in me. And I have a responsibility to also share my experience with God, with others, so that we are all at peace. And that's where love and where unity and where respect lies, when we are all at peace.
Just a little over here. See, again, if I had a little organ, like, duh, 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 duh. I am humbled at the thought of a black man going to Calvary for me. So Jesus was a black man.
Jesus was a black man. And the Roman government killed my black Jesus.
The Roman government killed Jesus. Jesus was persecuted by the state. He was
publicly lynched.
Jesus was publicly lynched
by the government.
Even though the political leader in charge washed his hands of it.
Right.
So he didn't want any responsibility for it. But Jesus was lynched publicly with criminals on a hill. And a black man helped him carry his cross. Why is that not, when people think about Jesus, when we think about Jesus and we have a religion in this country that is based on Jesus, what is their understanding of Jesus? Who is
a
Jesus?
White man
who is Jesus?
With long, stringy hair and a white robe that sits perched in a picture in your grandmother's living room.
How did Jesus go from being publicly lynched by the government to a white man with blonde hair floating?
European colonialism and the missions of Christianity in America, when it was their opportunity to turn the narrative toward themselves in order to uplift themselves so that Black slaves, Indigenous slaves could revere them, that's when we see as a Black people that tide turned. So it's definitely critical that we get back to a place to see Jesus in us, not in the master.
So when we think about Christianity and some of the arguments that some Black people have is that Jesus was white and this is the white man's religion, and why would you worship a religion that oppressed you? The Bible was used to justify slavery, and they will quote scriptures about slavery in the Bible and say that this is the white man's religion. How is that false? Why is that false? Why is that wrong?
Well, no, it's not wrong. It's actually very true. The Bible and Christianity was used to enslave our people. It was used as a domination mechanism, and we see that still intertwined in Black culture today, even particularly in the Black church. Let's even talk about down to the sense of, you know, in the Black church, women can't preach. Well, where does that come from? The submission of women in slavery. So we still see that intertwined, but what we don't see intertwined is that the Bible has also been used to liberate us, right? And I did a moderation of a video a few weeks ago that talks about how, although Christianity has been used to dominate us, many Black people have also used Christianity to liberate themselves, right? We see that in the slave religion or the slave culture of Black people stealing away at night and hymning those songs to themselves, and like the old Negro spirituals, those came out of the liberation movement of Black people knowing that even if this white Jesus is being plastered in front of me, there's still a God that I feel very dear on the inside of me that I know will still come to my rescue when I call. And so that innate soul of a person did not leave people when they left the continent of Africa. And so just as we are all born with that soul and that desire that we are connected to something greater, and in our respective spaces, we all identify that as some name difference. But I believe that Black slaves and even Indigenous slaves still had their soul and their soul belief of who they were, you know, the person that we just all know ourselves to be. I mean, Indigenous slaves also had rituals amongst their different tribes, and so they don't lose that sense of just who they are, which is what allowed us and what continues to allow us to reach into the spaces where there is scripture that does not dominate, but that does liberate, you know, which is what creates like the Baptist religion, right? Us really preaching New Testament scripture and really looking to be born again, and which creates what I am AME Zion, and our ability to get away from even the AME culture and feel our own voice. That comes because we know innately who we are. And so we stick to that, we hold true to that. And that allows millennial preachers like myself to be able to tell people it's okay to stick true to who you know you to be, as long as you are following the commandments of God, which really is to love yourself, love God, and then love others.
That's what Jesus said.
I didn't come to abolish the law necessarily. I'm just coming to let you know, like, it's more out here than the stuff that you put, the box that you're putting yourself in, right? And even so much with just thinking about what is love. I mean, if someone says, okay, well, Christianity is wrong, it was used to make slaves submissive, which is all true, but then they still love others, right? And they still satisfy their human requirement to be kind to other people, to be in harmony with others. And so that's really the bigger part, I believe, that Jesus was preaching and that we should be pushing, other than the rule book of Christianity that we know here in America.
When you talk about that soul, because it is true, the older I get and the more woke I become, I realize just how harmful slavery was. Like, absolutely. You know, you like, oh, slavery is bad. That was mean. You don't treat people like that, you know, especially when you've been educated with the books. And then you clap when you hear about Harriet Tubman and, oh, you hear about the man who shipped himself in a box to freedom. You know, like, you clap it for those stories. But when you really, really, really realize, like, the horrors of slavery and the fact that all of these innate connections that you had to where you were from were stripped. And now we're in a place where people are feeling this sense of connectedness with this energy, but it does not necessarily align with what you've been taught about Christianity. So, like, Black women now starting to explore more ancestral religions. How does that coincide with Christianity, or with, because, Jesus, or with God?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I did a project. Remember Kier from school? I did a project about the Orishas, which are the Nigerian goddess and goddesses. And I can't quote it back now because it was 4 years ago. And I promise you, stuff that I learned will leave me if I don't use it. But what I can say is that I do credit that those are African gods and goddesses in whom God is very much present. And I think that it is so ignorant for people to believe that their way is the only way, as if a history of a million years did not happen before us. And you believe that in your infinite, in your finite 70, 80 years on the earth, that the way that you think and conceptualize is the only way, like, it is to be done. And so, whereas I have not, even after that class, really significantly studied them, but I did, however, and I will brag on this point. When I went to Cuba, I bought an Oshun Orisha mask from the flea market, and it's at my home. I have an Orisha statue that's been sitting in my Amazon cart for 4 years. Now, that's what the tea is. The Orishas are the background of my laptop computer. I saw this beautiful Orisha picture that I eventually want to have painted and hung in my living room because I recognize the spirituality. Like, you feel it. You feel it. It's a soul connection that if you allow yourself to open up to it, you will feel. And so I don't have to worship, quote unquote, the Orishas to recognize the God presence in them, to recognize my ancestral connection to them, and to have reverence for them. I can still very much worship Jesus, pray to God, but still recognize that beyond the few years God will grant me on this earth, there was a world outside of me, and to it I pay homage.
So it's not evil or devil worshiping when people start to look at crystals and start to talk about healing and start to pay attention to, like, essential oil blends for specific purposes, or to sit in the moonlight and reflect. That's not evil.
I mean, now, evil is what's in your heart.
Ooh.
Evil is what's in your intention.
Because the Klansman show had a cross. The Klansman show had a cross.
Oh, I'm sorry. They can't see me. I'm sorry. I was making a face.
You know. Okay.
Evil is what's in your spirit towards other people. If you're trying to get your mind right, I can never understand how that could be evil. Now, Lord, open my eyes to see different. That's not your will. But I can never understand people trying to align themselves to be kind and what we call alignment of the vortex with other people is ever evil. What is evil is Klansmen with crosses burning. What is evil is the church thinking that LGBT and trans lives don't matter. What is evil is people in the same community running up on each other over disagreements. What is evil is children being abandoned by the school system and their parents. What is evil is you lying to your spouse because you can't leave them married because it's cheaper to keep and you aren't happy. That's evil. What is evil is you going to church every Sunday and coming back continuously incomplete, and not knowing how to find your peace and not looking for your peace. So when we really talk about evil, we want to label it crystals and moonlight and Mercury retrograde and and all the things that God has given us, but we fail to look in the hearts of ourselves and even of others to recognize the space and to even use the discernment God gave us to recognize the space they're coming from. And I think that, once again, we continue to do a disservice to ourselves and our experience on this earth and the experience of others when we try to box people according to how we think they should look, dress, talk, wear their hair, etc., to make us comfortable.
Ooh-wee. Girl, you better break all these boxes. Because I think it's important, like, the more that we wake up, the more that you kind of look around. And 2020 has done that. Come on, perfect vision. 2020 has forced.
Open my eyes.
Yeah, like, eyes have been open. Like, if you didn't like you, you had a lot of time to get to know you.
Yeah.
If you had some traumas and triggers, this was the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, so much of that stuff came up.
If you needed to let go of some stuff, this was the time. It was definitely some stuff, even going into quarantine, I was holding on to that. In quarantine, I decided to let go because it was doing a disservice to my experience on this earth. So why would I continue to hold on to that when it's not serving me and it's not serving God?
Mm. How does a person who does not identify as, like, a person who works for church, how do you serve God every day if it's not like being in the church bake sale or participating in a car wash or delivering groceries?
That's not serving God.
That's not acts of service.
Serving God is keeping the commandments to love God and then to love others as yourself. So that means your life reflection should be service to others. Serving God is when Jesus talks about caring for the orphan and the widow and caring for the poor. Serving God is being mindful of the systems and the places that we occupy to make sure that we are ensuring equity and liberation for all people. You don't never have to have a title in the church, belong to a church, be a member of a church, go to a church, sit in a church to serve God, because your life's work ain't never gonna be in a 2-3 hours, even for Black church that you gonna be in. And for Caucasian church, and I mean, ain't you Catholic? So it's like 45 good minutes.
Rosé.
Y'all in and out. Like, how you plan on ever serving God in 45 minutes and you got 168 hours in a week?
Rosé is Catholic.
So, okay.
I'm United Church of Christ. You know.
Well, listen. Well, then you know. I mean, with them 3 hours that we spend in church, can't never be serving God. In my opinion, if we got the whole rest of the week to interact with people on a daily basis, this is just our opportunity to fine-tune our skills so that when we go in the world, we are better.
Amen.
That's what church is for.
That is. Yeah. Come on, fine-tuning these skills. Speaking of the skills and being in service, you mentioned that you were interested in doing a community project for our school. What are you thinking about?
Nothing in particular. You know, ILL.
I-N-I, the place that made me, baby.
The University of Illinois campus at Urbana-Champaign made me to be the woman I am today. Had I not walked through the experience of women of color, I would not be the woman I am today. And I recognize that there are so many relationships that we have, even the class of 03, no, what were we, 07, 08?
I'm 07.
I graduated from college.
I'm 07. You 08.
Lord, have mercy. Whew, I can't remember, Jesus. But even like Morgan Park, 03, 04, 07, 08. I mean, we the same people basically. Let the haters tell it. All of Morgan Park goes to U of I. But
truly, let the haters tell it. No.
But I just feel like we have a lot of resources amongst ourselves. We have the Black Alumni alum something. You know, I can't really call it right now, girl. I'm just saying. It's a lot of us, and we do a lot of good stuff already, so I feel like we could put our hands together and really touch some more people in a very genuine way.
Well, you know, speaking of experiences and light, my experiences were not very good at U of I, so I still, as I'm walking through my own journey of healing, have not yet even tried to reconnect with any type of Black connection with U of I at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's gonna be fun.
Da, da, da.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
All right. I mean, we could wind it back to Morgan Park. I don't care. It's the same people I'm talking about.
It literally is the same
it's
people.
It's the same. Okay.
It's true. But no, in real life, you said it. Like, we already know what we are called to do, we are called to do. And it ain't nobody on this earth that can stop whatever it is that we are called to do. So exactly. You said, like, my light, my joy, my guidance. If that is what it means to act in service to God, is to share your light and your joy and your guidance wherever your light, joy, and guidance is needed. Then that's what the calling is. So, you know, if you think of a project, whether it be U of I or Morgan Park or anywhere where I can be of service, you know I'm down for the call.
Amen.
You know I love our people.
I appreciate that.
Of course.
And listen, I haven't thought no more beyond, like, knowing that we have a network of people. I mean, I watch y'all post such amazing things on Facebook. I mean, women and men around us are photographers, authors, entrepreneurs, mentors, like, you name it, y'all are doing it. We are doing it. And so I know that we can pull our heads together and do some amazing things. So, I mean, we'll see where that thought goes.
I was finna say, so now here we are. 1 year, you sowing this seed in the rose garden. Let's see when we come back next year and we talk about what has changed. We can figure out how did we
walk. I know
walk.
There has to be a quarantine. I know that, Jesus.
I know, okay. Lord Jesus. I'm coming back to pray to you, Lord God, Lord Jesus Christ. Please heal the land. Please
Amen.
Help these people wear these face masks and
Amen.
Socially distance and wash your hands and take care of your health and drink your tea and water and juice.
Mind your business.
And mind your business and be nice and be kind and don't be a petty, messy person.
And let's go back to socially distancing because, you know, I am all here for following the CDC guidelines. I think we are putting an irrational tilt toward the mask and not the social distance. Because if you got the mask on, but you real close to me in line at the grocery store, ma'am, it don't serve no purpose. You need to scoot back.
What kind
now,
of
people? Why are people still walking up on me in the grocery store? Help me. We both got masks on. I got on a mask. You got on a mask. The COVID out there, but you right behind me. Help me. Tell me.
Why are some people still walking around without masks? That's why I'm confused.
Because they think that they are in. Invincible, which is fine. Listen, do you at your house with your kids and mind your business. I can't mind your business for you. You can't mind my business for me. But I do know that the CDC said, wear your mask and the socially distance. So if you wear your mask, but you own me, or if you not own me, but you ain't wearing a mask, it don't work like that, humans.
And
that's my spiel on the mask and the socially distance. Do both.
Mask
get off me.
And socially distance. And this is coming from a birthday queen, so you have to do what she says because it is cancer season.
And that's my PSA on the coronavirus and the people who still run up on me in a grocery store. I don't like it, and I'm going to punch you.
Back up before you get smacked up.
Now, that's what she said, and I co-signed.
As we close out, is it anything else? Like, 2020 really came in and slapped all of us. And we're talking about getting slapped. Like, 2020 slapped everybody. And we all had to, like, really have some come to Jesus, come to self, come to light moments as we went through these first 6 months. As we enter July and go into the next half of 2020, are the aliens coming? Do you think the aliens are coming?
I mean, aliens, I think that's kind of a stretch.
I mean, the locusts are coming. The wind storms are coming.
I don't foresee the other life form, but if they arrive, I hope they also come in peace. I mean, they can kick it. I'm not against it. Listen, alien lives matter, okay? Because I'm not going to be that person who say that the aliens coming in and now we ain't going to accept them. But if they come in here, don't come in here acting crazy. Okay.
I mean, that's what a good guest would do.
Now listen, just like July will be here tomorrow, sis. And the July cancers are way better than the June cancers.
Is that right?
I'm just telling July in advance, don't come in here acting crazy, okay? I done heard it's more stuff trying to kick up with sickness and flu in China. And we still don't know what these murder hornets are. They ain't showed their face in a few months. They on sabbatical or whatever. COVID trying to hang back out. We don't want you no more. Like,
if R. Kelly gets released.
Oh, that would be terrible.
That would, like, I'm like, because
R. Kelly is canceled. Speaking, that's how I want to end. Listen, I'm not going to cancel 2020. That's why I've decided. I was going to cancel it because COVID has really changed a lot. For a lot. You know, I recently lost a cousin last week to COVID.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So, COVID has changed a lot for a lot, but we are canceling R. Kelly, okay? Now, I'm still listening to the Chocolate Factory. I don't care what y'all say, okay? I'm saying what I'm saying. Okay?
Goddamn Sour Patch Kids.
I'm saying what I'm saying, okay? Because this is why. Now, this is why. Now, I'm about to challenge you. Now, listen. We canceling Bootsy.
We see all of that. See, this is why we know.
But are we still seeing Wipe Me Down? Because if we are, I'm still seeing the Chocolate Factory.
We're not glorifying any child rapist, which is why, as much as it hurts my heart, I had to cancel Michael. Yeah.
I was never a big Michael Jackson, Prince fan, so.
Yeah.
Like, you can't cancel someone you didn't really listen to.
This is true.
I get it.
This is true.
But you can't cancel Thriller.
I had to cancel Thriller, and I used to have Michael Jackson themed bar crawls. I had the Michael Jackson experience on the Wii, and I had like the record for most high scores. Like, I was a real fan.
I feel like we played that together.
We did. So I am fortunate again. Come on, because you know God is a provider. I am now a Prince family since I've gotten married. We walked down the aisle. I came down the aisle to Diamonds and Pearls. So we are now a Prince family. So it makes
I don't know no Prince song, so don't tell me none of the titles.
No, it's okay. It's okay. But
B4L, yes.
You can't. Prince. We not listening to Bootsy because he a child rapist. T.I.
Oh, yeah, that was not cool.
T.I. was close with his comments.
Yeah, he was
very close. Yeah, just really inappropriate. R. Kelly, yeah, no, he's gone. So I don't understand how you listening to...
Now, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not going out of my way to access his albums. They're not on my Pandora. I don't listen to him. But if he comes on the radio or if I'm in the car and it comes on, I cannot resist stepping to the left and stepping to the right. That's what I'm saying.
In the name of love.
That's all I'm saying.
How deliciously convenient. And there, ladies and gentlemen, we have my favorite millennial preacher, Cancer Queen,
amen,
who illustrates the logic of the cancer and the power of the word.
Amen.
At the same
Thank
time.
You so much for having me, babe. I appreciate it. It's always an experience in the Rose Garden, and we're going to see what the rest of 2020 got in store for us.
Amen. Can you take us out with some words of affirmation? So again, even with like me starting to wake up, I have a friend, Dr. Toya, who's like a spiritual advisor, and she has really helped me understand, even in terms of like healing yourself, like speaking to your inner child and speaking to your past self and apologizing for stuff that has happened or saying that you love yourself at a really dark moment, like the power of words. And the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. Like the Bible holds all of these answers.
It does.
We just are so used to skimming through. We don't recognize the power of the words that we are saying.
Right.
Since we spoke so much, we spoke a lot of stuff, but we spent some time and energy dedicated to foolery. So I'm hoping that you can take us out with some words of love and light and encouragement for everybody, because it's important. If you're going to speak one thing, you got to balance it out and speak power and life to the opposite and what you want. So since we want love and light and joy and guidance and mentorship and powerful connections and purpose and healing and love, can you please, Heezy, take us out with a word of prayer?
Definitely. Great God, we are ever thankful just for the mere fact that in this pandemic, you spare our lives. And we thank you for bringing us to this moment in time. We thank you for the camaraderie, the friendship, and the sisterhood that has been shown this evening in the Rose Garden. And we pray that our light continues to shine like the church on a hill that cannot be hid, so that men and women, boys and girls, through our light and our love, through our righteous and our ratchet, will follow you. And we ask that you continue to order our steps so that nothing that we do be in vain, so that we always remember that we are called to a greater purpose than ourselves, and so that we are always responsible to that calling. And we thank you for an opportunity to serve you in this life. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go!
No!
Am
I ready to like?
Let's go.
Let's go. All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me, so thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.